This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by WordStream, online advertising made easy. Look, it is so easy to waste time and money with online advertising. That's why you need tools like WordStream. Check it out at wordstream.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz and my guest today is Don Miller. He's the CEO of StoryBrand and the author of a couple best-selling books, including Building a Story Brand, Clarify Your Message So Customers Will Listen, and more recently, Marketing Made Simple, a step-by-step story brand guide for any business that he co-wrote with Dr. J.J. Peterson. So, Don, thanks for joining me.
I'm really happy to be here.
So you have written, I mentioned two books, you've written a number of books, and yes, they were not necessarily all marketing books. In fact, I'm curious how a person who has a book with a subtitle Light, God, and Beauty on the Open Road comes to write marketing books.
That was the first book. That was 20 years ago. Yeah, I wrote a bunch of memoirs from when I was in my 20s and 30s. And then when the publisher wanted literally an eighth memoir, I had to sit them down and explain that nothing else has happened. I've got no more personal story to tell.
Yeah.
And then ended up, you know, in order to write those books and to write a screenplay, I was really just a literary writer, more than a business person. And then, but I had to study story and the elements of story and story structure and all the way from Plato to Robert McKee and on. And Accenture came to me years ago and said, could you put together some sort of project management curriculum that gets a team united around a purpose? And I thought about that and thought, you know, story, if they all get invited into a story, it's going to help the project management get better. So I did that. And then later really thought through and thought, you know, it's actually a better marketing framework than anything else. Ended up writing Building a Story Brand. Well, we used the marketing framework at my own company and doubled in size very, very quickly. And then wrote it as a book, and now we've helped, you know, I don't know, 10,000 plus companies clarify their marketing message. And what we've discovered is if you put up a website that has a lot of pretty images, it does okay. But if you put up a website that has the words, the specific words that invite people into a story, it works a lot better. And we've helped thousands of companies make a lot of money by just clarifying their message and inviting customers into a story. So my whole literary background studying story, I never ever in a million years would have predicted would make me a marketing person, helping companies, you know, make more revenue. But I got to tell you, John, I'm completely addicted. I absolutely love this second career. And it's as fun, if not more fun, than my first career writing books. It's a lot less lonely because when you write memoirs, you sit alone in your underwear and you write memoirs and people sit alone in their underwear and read them. But, in my new work, we all sit around with all our clothes on and try to help you make money. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, it's funny, as you pointed out, I mean, the idea of the elements of story and, the whole mythology of Joseph Campbell. I mean, that's stuff that I think a lot of marketers have been talking about for at least the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
I think you did an amazing job in creating the framework and the brand, story brand itself. I mean, what do you attribute to the fact that I you hinted at this, I can say it, story brand has been, you know, incredibly, incredibly impactful in the world of a lot of marketers. You're impacting a lot of small business owners. What do you attribute to the appeal of kind of the way you package this?
Well, I think that most people who look at Joseph Campbell's work and try to translate it into business, I think what they're doing is they're going out and trying to tell their story.
Yeah.
And the big paradigm shift with us is we actually say that's not what you should be doing, that you should be inviting customers into a story. And they're very, very different. They're very different techniques. And what we found is as soon as somebody stops telling their story and starts inviting customers into a story, they make more money. And so I like to believe that the reason that thousands of businesses have stood in line to understand story brand, understand the framework is because they've heard from their friends that they made a lot more money when they did it. And so I think that's why it spread. Yeah. But, you know, the actual structure is really 2,500 years old. And who knows if Plato invented it, but he's the first one to write it down that we know of, at least that became popular. But, you know, the idea of it's so popular, and John, I hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. you know, you got to tell your story, right. Your story is everything. And I think it's just helping people lose money. Nobody actually wants to hear your story,
right,
until they know that you can help them survive and win in their own personal lives. And so you invite them into a story, you change their life, and then maybe, you know, if you're lucky, you can sit down and tell them your story and they'll actually listen. But that's the big paradigm shift for us, is invite customers into a story rather than tell your own, and you're going to see the difference at the cash register.
Yeah, I've been preaching for years, because, you know, you look at 24 small business websites and 23 of them will start off talking about themselves and their product, yeah, and how long they've been in business. And, you know, I've been preaching for years that nobody really cares what you sell until they understand how it solves their problem.
That's right.
That, yeah. You know, and that's the part that so many people miss, because unfortunately, a lot of times the problem part that you solve sometimes isn't very sexy, or it's often quite simple, isn't it?
Well, and you know, any problem, you hit on the right point, and that is the only reason anybody's giving you money for anything is because you solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And the more that you talk about the problem that you solve, the more money you're going to make. Because people, there's a Rolodex in everybody's brain, and they categorize information. They don't categorize it based on the first letter of your business name. They categorize it based on what problem you solve. And if you have not gone out there and said, here's the problem that I solve, people are not paying attention to you. And then I'm a firm believer that any problem that you solve, if you're making money, you can actually say it in a pretty sexy way.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it more interesting. That's the job of a screenwriter, is right, to make a story about somebody who, you know, they've got a slight alcohol problem and they're not quite able to pitch the way they used to pitch in the major leagues. That's not a huge deal, but a good screenwriter can make it feel like life or death.
Yeah.
And we've got that challenge when we talk about our business. No matter what it is that we solve, we got to talk about it in such a way that it's intriguing. People understand it, and they suddenly decide, I want to resolve this problem. I'm tired of dealing with it. I got to go to this person and give them money in order to solve it.
So let me give you one of the things that I've noticed. You know, reviews have been around for a long time, but they've certainly become a much larger part of you know, business and marketing today, the Google review, you know, type of thing. And I have noticed that there's a lot of story in those statements that people go to, you know, voluntarily a website, talk about this business and everything that they did, the problems that they solved for them. Frankly, I have found a lot of great sort of insight in that. I mean, it's no different than saying, go talk to your customers, but here we've got a resource now where our customers are actually providing what I think is story, you know, on their own.
Yeah.
You know, have you seen, so I'll give you an example. And I talk about how sometimes it's not that sexy is, you know, years ago I worked with a tree service, and of course they're family owned, 60 years in business, you know, third generation, great, great story. We interviewed all their customers, and every one of them, almost to a person, said, yeah, but what I really love is they show up when they say they're going to, and they clean up the job site. You know, every one of them said that, you know, it's that's the problem you're solving, but how do you make that sexy?
Well, I think you actually say something like, are you tired of tree services not showing up on time and making a mess in your yard? Well, the average person loses one tree every 30 years. So they don't know that that's a problem with tree services. But the second you actually say it, they say, yeah, I don't want that. I'm going to hire these guys who don't do that. There's a plumber. It's a really funny name for a plumber. It's Benjamin Franklin Plumber.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And all their trucks around town say the on-time plumber.
Yep.
And that's a great way of sort of differentiating yourself in the marketplace by saying, well, I guess other plumbers don't show up on time. I want the one that shows up on time. A good example of good marketing.
Yeah, and I suspect that in the home services industry, everybody's had some version of that experience of, you know, sitting around waiting for AT&T or whoever, you know, to come to your home. So I think it's a pretty natural play, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, but we shouldn't think, well, everybody says that. Everybody does that.
Yeah.
They really don't. You know, businesses really don't use words very well. And even though you may be on the inside track and understand, well, every business does the same thing we do, if they're not saying it really clearly, then the public doesn't know that every business does that. And you're going to become known as the business who actually does that.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? If you say you cut down trees, you know, they figure anybody who's got a chainsaw cuts down trees. So what's, what's your thing?
They're not thinking through it. Yeah.
Online advertising has become an essential part of the puzzle today, but it's tough. It's changing every day. It's hard. It's easy to waste time and money trying to figure out how to get it right. That's why you need some tools in your corner. I love a tool called WordStream. You can get consulting as well as a tool to shave tons of time off to have reporting done for you. If you're an agency, then you've got that problem times 10. You need these tools to help you manage. You need the tools that WordStream offers to help you attract even more clients. If you want to benchmark your Google Ads account right now, they've even got a free tool for that. And they've got a great Growth Academy that's free as well. Check it out at wordstream.com. Online advertising made easy. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
So what are you trying to accomplish with Marketing Made Simple? In a way, would you say, is that an evolution of the Story brand, or is that, you know, you kind of getting into a different area altogether?
No, building a story brand, there's two books that you're referencing. The first is Building a Story Brand, and that book helps you clarify your message. And I think we've had about 500,000 of those sold now. So a lot of businesses have used it with success. Marketing Made Simple is once you've clarified your message, what do you do with it? And we actually show you five different marketing tools that you can put words into: a one-liner, a landing page, website, a lead generating PDF, an email nurturing campaign, and an email sales campaign. That if you build those five things, you know, they're just practical things that a lot of people have. We just call it a sales funnel, or, you know, it's commonly called a sales funnel. There's different kinds of sales funnels. But if you build those five things, you've got a pretty good small business to mid-cap business marketing plan. And we added Facebook ads to that. We do those five things. We made it past $5 million annually before we ever bought a Facebook ad. So, you know, they're unbelievably lucrative and they're very, very cost effective. Those five, just to do those five things. And so the book actually teaches you how to do those five things in a way that, and we used ourselves as a lab, and we're past, we'll probably do 17 million this year. So, and we still are just doing the same thing. We're doing that exact same thing over and over and over. And we just, you know, I used to run a company. I didn't know how to do the marketing. I figured it out. We made a lot of money. And now I'm turning around saying, I wrote the book, as though I were sending it back in time to tell me how to do this a lot faster.
Well, yeah, because I suspect that there would be some, obviously in the title, your intention is to make marketing simple, because there's a lot of people that like to make it complicated. But yeah. Do you ever get any pushback from people? You mentioned social media, but like, what about social media? And what about, you know, email? And what about, you know, paid advertising? What about SEO? I mean,
we do cover email in the book. Another book that we've released called Social Media Marketing, that we cover social media. We contracted with Claire Diaz-Ortiz, who was one of the executives at Twitter, on that. But I like to look at social media, branding, and paid advertising as air cover that supports your sales funnel. Yeah. But you've got to have your sales funnel. You have to have the ground game working. Or your social media, really, you know, it's more branding than marketing. And I think until you're a $500 million company, you probably shouldn't be doing much branding at all. You should be doing marketing.
Yeah.
Until you're a household name, you've got to be doing marketing. You got to be explaining to people who you are and asking them for money in exchange for a solution to a problem. And a lot of people, you know this so well, John, a lot of people will charge you a lot of money to do branding, you know, pick your colors and the mood board and your logo, and they don't know anything about marketing. They don't know how to literally write an email and send it to somebody and then have them turn around and give you their credit card. That's what we focus on. Yeah. You focus on things that get a big return right away.
So one of the things that I found intriguing, really, I think it's the first chapter, or certainly very early on in Marketing Made Simple, is this idea of moving relationships through stages. And I've been talking about the customer journey forever. It's become pretty trendy now to talk about it. But I think a lot of people really underestimate the power of that idea of guiding that I think has to happen. So you want to walk through that idea?
Well, relationships, all relationships move through three phases. And the first phase is curiosity. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about a romantic relationship or a business relationship or a relationship with a brand.
Yeah.
The first thing is you're curious. And there's only one thing people get curious about. And that is there's something about this person or this brand or this product or this leader that I think can help me survive. Now, it's often a subconscious revelation, but we think, you know, if I associate with that person's tribe, I'll be able to survive. If you know, I marry this person, we have a better chance of surviving if we're together and bringing kids into the world and helping them survive if we're together. If I attend this church, I'd be a part of a tribe that helps me survive. If I buy this product, I might save some money. And money is a resource that helps us survive. Everything is connected to survival. So if you want people to be curious about your brand, you need to lead with a message that tells them you can somehow help them survive. And that gets into complicated territory, but I cover that in the book. The next phase of relationship is enlightenment. And enlightenment is where we discover how this person can help me survive. And it deepens that trust that we have in the relationship that they can help me survive. And we enlighten people in our marketing through lead generators, through e-courses, through podcasts. Everybody listening to this podcast knows that John can help them survive because they've been listening for a long time. That way, when John releases a product down the road, they say, you know, John, he's always helped me survive. I think I'm going to go ahead and give $50 and buy this product because you've established trust with by giving people value over the years. The third part of the relationship is commitment. And commitment is the first part of the relationship where we're actually putting skin in the game. I'm risking myself. I could be embarrassed. I could lose money. I could, you know, whatever. But we trust this person or this brand so much we're willing to give money or time or our heart, our love to somebody. And that either works out or it doesn't work out. So most marketing really gets right to it. Either just is so ethereal that it doesn't pique anybody's curiosity, doesn't enlighten them, and doesn't cause them to commit. That's called branding. Or it goes right to commitment, which would be like going up to a young woman and saying, I think you're really pretty. Would you like to get married? I think it's not going to work out, right? You can't move that fast.
Yeah. So, if it does work out, you've got another problem. Right?
You got another problem. You're married to the wrong person. So, or maybe if you've said that and she said, yeah, you might actually be made for each other.
Who knows? That's right. That's true.
But let's hope. But I think one great thing about a sales funnel, you know, when you start with a one-liner, then they go to a landing page, then they read a PDF, then they get several emails, and I'm talking up to 40, 50 emails from you, then and only then are they willing to commit. And all of that can be automated. So the process of building a relationship with your brand and your products can be automated. And that's what my book, Marketing Made Simple, explains. It explains how to do that. And imagine your sales reps, if you're at a bigger company, your sales reps calling somebody. And they've already read 10 emails, listened to a couple podcasts. They're familiar with your product. How much easier is that going to be? Well, it's because you've already made them curious and enlightened them. You can now close the deal. And it just speeds up the sales process dramatically.
Yeah. And I suspect it moves how much down the list a little bit, right? I mean, if people are objecting to, is this going to be worth it? You know, you probably haven't done steps one and two very well.
That's exactly it.
So, what do you see? I mean, we've kind of already hinted around this, but I did want to ask you, you know, since you've worked with so many business owners, you know, where do you see the kind of the biggest mistake in them trying to simplify or clarify their message? I mean, where do they go wrong with that?
There's two, and we've hinted at both of them. The first one is they're too vague. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody who tries to make their own website or without understanding these principles, they believe that they're being straightforward about what they sell, and they're not.
Yeah.
You know, I just reviewed several websites the other day on one of our live casts, and on one website, I was on there for, and I know you've done this too, John, like 3 or 5 minutes, and I finally said, I can't figure it out. I mean, it's like a puzzle. I literally cannot figure out what you're trying to sell me. And can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, I would say that would be a major hindrance on making money. I mean, can you imagine going into a restaurant, somebody, you know, in the menu says things like, you know, a cooked protein, There's like just these vague.
Yeah.
You wouldn't sell anything.
Yeah.
Or it's like a puzzle. This protein swims in the sea and is often found in cold water. You know, it's like, what are you doing? I just know it's a trout.
Yeah.
So we do that. That's the first problem. And then the second problem is, we did talk about, they talk too much about themselves. The customer is looking at your website and they're looking for themselves. And the main thing that they're looking for is they want you to explain what their problem is. They want you to say that you're tired of being fatigued at 2 o'clock every day, or right after lunch, you're constantly craving sugar or whatever. When they go, oh my gosh, I this guy's reading my journal, right?
Right.
Now you've got a customer for life. And instead, we're talking about how our grandfather started the company 75 years ago, and that has nothing to do with our customers.
You know, it's interesting, though, and this, I think, is the tricky part. At some part in the journey, they may want to know that. You know, they may want to know about you and your business and your stability and who else likes you, but not until they realize you get them better than anyone.
That's exactly it, John. It's just like dating. It's literally just like, you know, if I don't know about you. I've been married going on 8 years now. And if I would have my first date with Betsy, if I would have done all the talking and not asked any questions, I would not be sitting here married, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's only after you earn their trust as a guide that they are convinced you are somebody who can help them resolve problems and win the day. It's only after that happens that they begin to be interested in you. And, you know, I'm really great at this, John, when it comes to marketing. I'm actually terrible when it comes to relationships. I've got to learn to shut up and listen when I talk.
Well, I think many of us, particularly authors and speakers, I think, we think when people ask us questions, they actually want the answers. but we get really trained to think that. So it's we come by it honestly. How's that? So another thing I've been really impressed with your output of video. I subscribe to a couple of your lists. I get at least one video a day. Maybe it's more often than that some days. I'm curious, and this is probably my own personal curiosity. Do you batch those? Do you once a week?
You're probably referring to a daily business tip that I send out. It's at businessmadesimple.com. That was really just me. I had so much content that I thought was valuable and I didn't have anything to do with it. And I thought we just need to give this away.
Yeah.
And so 5 days a week, we send out this video, and I couldn't believe we have over 100,000 people subscribe now getting it, less than 1% unsubscribe rate. Mm. And I think there are 260 videos, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. We finally stopped doing it, but you can still get them, thousands of people sign up. And yes, we batch them. So I will sit down. I think the record I've done is like 17 in one day. It takes a while to figure out what we want to talk about. People tell us, hey, I just got fired. How should I have handled that? Or when I'm hiring somebody, what questions should I ask? Or one of my favorite videos, when is the right time to ask for a raise? Because everybody does it at the wrong time. Everybody. And there's a right time to do it. And I teach that in that video. You know, and then how to give a speech, and we go through marketing, we go through messaging, we go through management, we go through execution, we go through leadership, we go, on and on and on. And that's been super, super successful. But yeah, I'll record between 5 and 15 at a time. And that means, I've got 3 more weeks before I've got to come up with the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, and it's a great lesson in, for content producers too, because they, I think one of the secrets to their success is, what do you average 4 or 5 minutes sometimes? And they
kind
of chew the point and, one thing. And I think increasingly that's what people want.
They really do.
Yeah.
It's micro learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So Don, I want to thank you for stopping by the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. Tell people where they can, obviously they can Google your name and find everything, but tell people where they can find out more about StoryBrand and your Marketing Made Simple.
Well, if you want to just get those business tip videos, just go to businessmadesimple.com. You can sign up there. That's probably the best place to go. But, it's an honor. I've been hearing about you for a long time, and from our clients who learn about marketing from us. They say they learn just as much from you. So it's an absolute honor to be on your show, and I'm very, very grateful.
Well, thanks, Don. I know that a number of our consultants have cross-pollinated into your organization.
Well, we're honored to have them because they deliver better value to our customers if they've hung out with you.
Well, thanks. That's awfully nice of you, and wish you continued success, and hopefully we'll run into you someday when we get back out there on the road.
Pray it soon.
Thanks, Don.